Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Dad was no dog man in the sense of he loved to get a dog and train it, particularly squirrel dogs. To train now, he would do bird dogs and deer dogs too, but I think his passion was squirrel dogs. But what he really liked to do was find somebody's dog in their yard that's treeing a squirrel in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
And then talk them into letting him have that dog to make a squirrel dog out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know that he ever paid any money for him. So he's taking a gamble that this free dog that he saw treeing in somebody's yard, he could convert it.
If he's like my grandpa, he ain't paying for a dog.
Well, no,
that's unbiblical. That's a sin.
I'm not saying he didn't pay for some, but it was kind of against his code to pay for a dog. And I think he was convinced he was good enough at training, he could take any dog and teach it. But I have to say, he didn't always succeed. But it wasn't because he didn't take them hunting and he didn't try. So.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandpa would not pay for a dog. And he didn't like you selling one.
There's a pig on the side of the road right there. I ain't kidding.
A wild one? Or?
No, I think it's domesticated.
Yeah.
From the looks of it.
Yeah, I see it. That white one.
Yeah. But it's not behind the fence.
And he wouldn't give me bullets on Sunday.
Yeah, you didn't hunt on
rifle,
Sunday.
For my rifle, I couldn't be hunting on Sunday.
Yeah, you didn't hunt on Sunday. Yeah, I think I've shared with you that my dad was a hardworking man. I want to call him a workaholic because it was every day, 6 days a week. You got after it hard. Hard work.
Kind of like you.
Well, yeah, I got it naturally. Yeah. I don't think I'm near as bad as he is, but I've had seasons in my life I work. And anyway. But he did not work on Sunday. Now, he'd go do his job, like, you know, where he's paid to work. He'd go do that because he was a shift worker. But you did not hunt, and you did not work on Sunday. You took a Sabbath.
That's the Lord's day.
Yeah. He was, which was quite a contrast, because here's this extremely hardworking man, and then he's not going to do anything on Sunday. And then he loved to hunt. If he wasn't working, he was hunting, particularly in the fall of the year, but you didn't hunt on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really odd. But I saw a contrast in that. I don't know how that might have. I know it shaped me in lots of different ways, positively and negatively.
Oh, yeah.
Last time we were down in here riding around talking. Remember, we were finding our way, trying to talk about some subjects of how we were learning to rethink about the justice of God and judgment of sin and all that kind of stuff. And we had a good day, and if I remember right, we had a little bit of a short day. I had some commitments that day.
Yeah,
but anyway, I just remember when we got done, I thought, Well, I don't think we got that subject talked out. And
no,
it's been long enough. I don't remember a whole lot of what I said the last time. But and we've been talking about it on the phone even, just ever since then.
Yeah.
Because I think in the renewing of the mind that the Lord's doing with us, we're learning to rethink some subjects and concepts and ideas different than at least I had previously thought about them. I had one concept of God's justice, a very human concept of justice, and a very religious concept, and now I'm beginning to see that, well, that wasn't just quite right. That divine justice and human justice don't always equal the same thing, or at least how I was taught, or how I thought, or even how I preached, or how I understood what I was reading in the scriptures.
How does James say it? Something of man doesn't work the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
How does he say what is that?
The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Something like that. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
What we might think is just. And that's kind of what I've been reading and listening to. That George MacDonald sermon on justice, of course, what he talks about, I don't know if we want to start that, but if we're believing something about God that we would think was horrible or even wicked in a human,
yeah,
it can't be right.
Yes. Yeah, if we would be appalled that a human would do it.
Yeah, then, but there God is doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That kind of idea that mm-hmm. we're talking about justice,
well,
righteousness.
Well, I think that, yes. I won't say it like this maybe. If the way that we are thinking or communicating about God is casting any shadow on his goodness and his true nature of love, then we're not thinking right and we're not communicating right.
Yeah.
Even if we're doing the best that we can do.
Yeah, and a good test for that, I think, or to compare maybe, is that 1 Corinthians 13 where it describes what love is.
Yes.
The character of love.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going against that descriptive, as it were? I mean, that's a good way to try to compare it, I guess.
Yeah,
if that's what love is like, that must be what God is like.
Yes.
And if it's opposed to what it's saying love is like,
then you might have back up of what you're thinking about God then.
Yeah.
Well, and I would probably add to that or clarify with that what is demonstrated in Jesus.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Jesus is...
All the while there's Jesus.
All the while there's Jesus. And we see God in action, what he's really like, and how he really loves us. But I do think your 1 Corinthians 13 gives our human mind a little more concise list.
Yeah.
Jesus gives us stories and some teachings and his actions and display that some want to still wrangle with.
Yeah, he might say something like, there was a father who had two sons.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll add that in also that Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, mm-hmm. or give good gifts mm-hmm. to his children. Jesus himself made that comparison mm-hmm. that one, he came to reveal the Father, and that was his, I think, his main teaching, is that God is a Father, and I like to clarify, he's a good Father, he's a loving Father.
Yeah.
And not a to use that Bible phrase of Jesus, an evil Father.
Yeah. I looked that word up the mm-hmm. other day. We was talking about it. I can't remember what it is, but it's not
it's
an idea of what I think about when I think of evil.
Yes. Yeah, because the idea is not so much evil in the sense of sinful or wicked or immoral or bad like that, like demonic type thing, as much as it's evil is the word. It's another word would be taxing, laborious labor,
yeah.
Futile work. It's being overbearing.
Yeah.
If you being a demanding parent.
Yeah.
I would maybe that if I try to put some different words on it. If you being a hard to please parent.
Yeah.
if you be the parent who's always pushing your children to win.
If you're that one and you can give good gifts, you know yeah. how to give good gifts.
Yes. Yeah.
How much more?
Yeah.
Shall your heavenly Father. I think that relationship, father and child, father and son, father and daughter, I think that is purposefully a picture of our relationship to God, and it's meant to teach us and help us to learn. I mean, the comparison is there with intention, in other words.
Yes.
It's not like I had a fella tell me one time, you're just trying to make God in your image, James.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no. Well,
I think I was made in
his. Yeah, I'm made in his image. Well, all right, I don't even know how to say it, James. I understand the argument. I do think you have to be conscious as you're thinking through things and trying to be reasonable and correct and honest in your thoughts. We're made in the image of God, and there's a way in which there's things about humanity that reflect the glory of God and teach us about how God is. But at the same time, you can't turn that thing around and start making God in your image.
Yeah.
That's idolatry. He said, don't have any graven images. Don't do that. Let me reveal myself. Don't you go around.
I think that's some of what we did in the church, especially regarding the justice of God.
Well, yes. And part of that is...
You got to pay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to that. One is Jesus is telling us God's a good Father, but we're still caught in that old covenant, Old Testament law and justice idea.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I think where I come from, our first thought was about God as a judge, not God as a Father.
Yeah, just judge.
Yeah, and that. And that even as a father, he was a demanding father, like the evil father, which he's not. He's not like, at least how I heard. I'm not trying to cast anything negative on my upbringing or what I was taught or what they might have intended. I'm just saying what I got out of it, because it was a God that was going to get you.
Yeah.
The R.G. Lee sermon, Payday Someday.
Yeah.
You know, all that, or the comment by offhand comment by somebody in church when something happened of, Oh, yeah, they think they're getting away with it now, but Judgment Day's coming, you know. Uh-huh. And it was, and that was part of it. The eschatology thought was that these judgments to come in the future, that that's, you know, when God the judge is going to exercise what I'm going to call today human types of justice.
The idea of justice and God's idea of justice are not the same.
And like that guy that tried to imply that you were making God in your image, I think that's what we do on the subject of justice, is we got a human view of justice and we're projecting that onto God.
Yeah.
It is as if we are holding him hostage to that, and that becomes the dominant concept and idea. We don't realize that that's all from a religious way of thinking. That's all out of the Adamic mind. I mean, when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, his first reaction is to run and hide and be afraid. Well, that's really how you feel about a judge.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's that woman you gave me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't blame the woman, yeah. But, I mean, who goes to the courtroom? Hey, I just come see the judge.
Yeah.
Hey, judge, you want to hang out, drink a cup of coffee afterwards?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, there's no warm fuzzy there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody feels guilty and condemned and afraid. And somehow I want to think that, in my opinion, the religious system holds people hostage with that.
Oh, yeah.
That they got to hang something over people's heads that to fear and to worry about to get them to conform and behave and or even pay their money sometimes.
They wouldn't serve God.
Well, yeah, serve their concept and serve their purpose.
As if he needed service.
Yeah.
That's what Paul said.
Well, I know. Well, that's just it. The whole...
He don't need nothing.
That whole mental structure is just a house of cards. But no one ever shares with you that it's a house of cards. It won't hold up. Because we're trapped into, well, this is the way the American court system works. So surely the court of heaven works that. This is what I think is right and fair. So surely that's how God is going to do it. You know, as if he's going to consult you about how to settle his affairs.
Yeah. I was thinking about that sermon that we've been reading. He talks about the just. God being just means he's going to treat everybody fairly.
Yes. Yes.
I can remember a good sermon. I'd have to listen to it again. I don't know if it's that good anymore. But T.D. Jakes talked about favor. Ain't fair. And that was making me think about that. Well, he's going to treat everybody fairly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're ready to look at that sermon or not, but the scripture that he bases it on is pretty good.
I'd quote it if I could remember it.
Well, he talks about... I'd have to read it off my phone.
Look at that.
Turkeys.
They're all wild hogs. Those are wild hogs on the side of the road.
Little ones. Let's get out and catch it. Put them on the pit. Too bad we didn't have our camera.
You're going to be faster than me.
Shoot, I ain't going in that briar patch.
I guarantee you that is a briar patch.
That's a thicket right there, boy.
That is a thicket.
Let me grab that book. Psalm 62, verse 12. He says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. he goes on to say that verse, for that verse to be translated correctly according to the general consensus of Christianity's theology, it would need to say, how does he say it?
Kindness, or
to you, O Lord, belongeth justice, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. But the word actually is mercy.
What verse?
62:12. He says, the religious mind, however, educated upon the theories yet prevailing in the so-called religious world, that's what I said, must here recognize a departure from the presentation to which they have been accustomed. To make the psalm speak according to prevalent theoretic modes, the verse would have to be changed to this. To thee, O Lord, belongeth justice, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
Yeah.
But it's actually mercy.
Yes.
We can probably read some of what he said. Part of what he said is mercy is just.
Is divine justice.
Yes.
God's mercy is divine justice.
Yes. They're not contradicting one
yes.
another.
Human justice. I think yeah. that's the way I have to yeah. try to distinguish what I'm talking about. Human justice
yeah.
sits in contrast to God's mercy. But divine justice
yeah.
and mercy are the same.
Yes.
He is both just and the justifier. But it's not like you, not like humans think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and we don't think, I never did, I'll say, think deeply about how contradictory some of our views of justice are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll say just from my perspective, my first thought sometimes in justice is just punitive.
Yeah.
Somebody did wrong, therefore they should pay some consequence. Okay. Now we may argue about what the consequences are should be, but it's still the idea of you broke a law, you did something wrong, violated somebody or something, and therefore here's the whatever the consequences are.
Yeah.
And it's really just punitive.
Yeah.
But that's not justice.
Yeah, there's no effort to restore the one that
yeah. No, even no consideration of it. I'm going to call it a very shallow, introductory, low-level view of justice.
Yeah.
It's more just in line with, you know, a personal vendetta, vengeance.
Tooth for tooth.
Yeah. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth idea.
I'm not even sure that's it either, but...
Well, yeah.
When you don't restore the person, you don't make that person whole that you hurt. Whatever it was, if you've stolen from them, if you've harmed them.
Well, okay. Okay, let me say this first. The eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth implies something equitable in the,
yeah.
that's fair, what's just. In other words, you know, if you knock my tooth out, I knock your tooth out. It's a tooth for a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay. But just because you knock my one tooth out, I don't get to knock out all your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, like, because in my anger and frustration and angst, as I go to get justice, I'm going to get more than a tooth.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair. Okay. Equitable. So, but this is what shapes us in our human justice system.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's very man-centered, very emotionally centered, yeah. and no thought about
punitive.
Yeah, very. It's just punitive. It's punitive, yeah. and
McDonald said in that sermon, that tooth for tooth stuff. He said that's not in the heart of the Father.
No, no, it is not. It is not. It's just in the law, but it's the human justice system.
Yeah.
Because he's having to, he had to put it, it had to go in there because he knew that without it, our sense of revenge would exceed justice.
Yeah.
In a sense, justice, human justice, in the sense of what's equitable. When I think about that, about this concept of justice, we'll make a real long trip here, James, and I half apologize for it. Most of the time, yeah, I know. Just sit back, just drink you a cup of
Let
coffee.
Let me get some coffee.
Yeah,
get some no, coffee. Go ahead, man. I'm just messing with you.
No, I know. I just realized I got. And it's really not going to take me long to do this.
It's
bigger in my head than it's going to come out my mouth.
It's fine.
All right. When you think, all right, think about justice. Often we're thinking about it in the terms of a stranger that I don't even know or care about has done something against somebody else or against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody stole my coon dog. You know?
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know who that somebody is. So they should, you know, justice be I get my coon dog back and then maybe for my angst or my time and my, you know, maybe there's some fine or penalty. There's, you know, somewhere along the way, I got to be made whole out of that,
yeah.
but it's a stranger. Well, then I find out it's my own brother that stole the dog.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Well. All right. So you stole my dog, went hunting, didn't tell me, hid it from me. I want my dog back, and I want an apology from you. You don't give me an apology, it's going to be real strained at Christmas.
Thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.